We're still studying blameless. In chapter 3, verse 13. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable or blameless in holiness before God. And we've, I hope, determined that the only way you can be blameless is that that life which is Christ in you is the only one that you live by. Right, because otherwise, if there's any part of you other than you being a simple vessel, if there's any part of you that is manifest or that is that your thoughts or emotions have to enter into it, then by definition you can't be blameless. So many people are in this position where they need affirmation of their worth from other people. And there are more fights and et cetera, and ill will started over that issue probably than anything else. And that's going to stay there as long as you use or going by your own emotions or life. Then anytime someone doubts your worth as a human being, you're going to revert back to that incredibly powerful image in your head, the molten image, that you will react that way. It's like when every time we talked about this kind of stuff with Harry would say, well, it just came upon me. It just came over me. And we've seen the evidence abundant that situation happens to just about everybody. Some trigger point happens where you are back to that 5-year-old or 7-year-old or 10-year-old when someone doubted your worth as a person and shunned you or something. And all of a sudden you're back there. And so the only thing that can happen here is that at least we must be in a position where we know to repent from those kinds of things. Because if we were judged on the basis of how we responded to that, we would have the garment spotted by the flesh and there would be no hope. But the same issue is always true. It's always repentance. It's always repentance. And the deeper and deeper meaning of what that means. You start out, repentance means, well, I'm sorry I did that. I'll try not to do it again. But then finally, repentance is the whole abandonment of self. The total yieldedness of all of you to the Father, without exception, without any part of you left for self. And that's really what, let's go to Philippians a minute. That's what this is talking about. Just go back a page or two to the left. Chapter 4, verse 1. Well, since it's a therefore, we have to go up to 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind or give breath to earthly things. For our conversation or manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change or transfigure our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, because of what we just read, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech however you pronounce that, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Apparently, they were having a problem. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the word moderation in verse 5 is a strange word. It literally means your abundant yieldedness. And if you've yielded, if you've presented yourself as the living sacrifice, that will be your abundant yieldedness. There will be no reference any longer to your mind or your emotions. So the abundant yieldedness is what that really means to our understanding, is abandonment of self. And so, again, it's throughout the scriptures. It's in Matthew, Luke, 2 Corinthians, it's all over. Abandon yourself, abandon yourself, abandon yourself. Why? Because of his humility. And that is a huge, it should make most of us cry when we see our pride, our self-seeking, our self in light of his humility. The only way he is revealed is when you are totally and completely abandoned. If there's any part of you that takes any part of you back to self, then he takes the lowest seat. So that's always the case. If you've been a believer for 50 years, or if you've been a believer for 5 minutes, his mind-blowing humility. And we don't want that. We want to worship a God that will cause powerful things to happen in us. That we will have power to change ourselves into something we want, or power to change others, or have others follow us. We want power to be seen, and not the word dunamis, which is tested ability. We want the dynamo. We want the visible power. Especially if you're a charismaniac, then you always want that, huh, Gary?
But you need that.
What?
That justifies your faith.
Or we at least want to have control over our life. You know, religion should at least supply that.
Yeah. And it does the opposite.
It always gets back to baptism. You know, people do the act, but they don't understand the significance of it.
Just get wet.
Yeah, it's really a...
And the same is true with the communion, the bread and the wine. That's why if there's any reference to you in the bread and the wine, it says that you eat the bread and drink the wine unworthily, and therefore you're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Well, that's pretty scary. Everything is about yieldedness at every second. In that emptying of self, there he is, blameless. There you are in that position, righteous. There you are in that position, holy. there you are in that position, sanctified. You're already glorified. You're already completely sanctified. It's all done. But he needs a people that not just know that philosophically, but know it because their minds have been renewed. Amen? What?
This is a great mystery. It's you, but it's not you, but it's you. It's not you. It's like I live 220, but yet not I. The life I live is Christ. So it's like it's a mystery that the brain isn't equipped to comprehend.
Because you're hardwired.
Yeah.
The brain is hardwired for self-seeking. Your emotions are hardwired to respond. How can you owe them nothing? The only way is abandonment. The only way is not owing anything. You're not a debtor to any aspect of your mind or yourself. You've been bought with a price. The way is sure. Again, sometimes cliches are valuable. There are two natures within my breast. One is cursed and one is blessed. One I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. If you feed the old man with all of the stuff that you're used to feeding him, then you, by definition, can never be blameless. This is for a people who are so empty and so weak as a human being that all power is his, or there's no power. Even if you think you have a strength in a certain area, then it's proffered weakness. The temptation is to use that strength. The emptiness is what the mystery of God makes you blameless, makes you holy, because he is holy. Amen?
Yeah. This thing about establishing us, that's the prayer, you know. And we've established ourselves over the years in this other place. So prayer is that God would establish us
in Christ.
I mean, we're there, but it's like to establish us is so we'd know it. You know, that's the deal. And all these things that happen are either, you know, it's time for another lap around the mountain, or we're shown that it is really true in that area or whatever is happening. You know.
Amen. Let's look at Romans 12 again.
Romans 12.
Well, again, as we used to, I wish there wasn't chapters and verses.
It makes it easier for some of us.
Go to chapter 11, verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means he doesn't take them back. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. He's talking about the Jews. Even so, have these also now not believed, that through your mercy also they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So all of us are in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Remember, that's just a quote from Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. But we want to think that we have sanctified thoughts. We want to think that we can figure out the way. No. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, I beg on my knees, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, yield, abundantly yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which is the highest thing you can do, is just simply present yourself as a sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's everything. The moment you try to gad about to change yourself, the moment you want to start, you know, that you ignore the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the minute that happens, then you're no longer blameless. You're no longer, because you've resurrected, you've raised from the dead that evil one from his deadly head wound. And you got to know by now that you're never going to get anywhere by your mind. But spiritually, if you use your mind, because your mind is hardwired for self, you can't be unblameable. You're only unblameable as he is unblameable. And that's everything. It's so simple. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake, or for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Sounds glorious and wonderful, but there's a big but here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. All things exist for your sake. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And for which cause we faint not, we don't quit in our mind. But though our outward man is perishing, or man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, time-dependent, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Don't be surprised if they're suffering. Don't be surprised if things don't go to your way. Don't be surprised if you're forsaken. Don't be surprised if you're cast down. Don't be among those that come and, oh, God is blessing us so much. We won the lotto and our kids are great. My wife is great. Every time you say that, you are despising and trivializing the suffering of His saints. Amen? Galatians 2. Go to the right, about a few, three or four pages, or five or six. Verse 16, chapter 2. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, again, remember the word law here is nomos. It just means one and one is two, or if I do this, that will happen, or all cause and effect is the law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ. That's where we have to start there. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came or come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And the more you see that, the way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until it's only Him. And while the way is getting narrower and narrower, the pegs of your tent have expanded all the way out to time and space itself. So that you'll see that this is truth in every possible time, in every possible situation, in every possible arena. If what you're saying, then you've seen it. There's no place that He isn't. And when you see that, because you've heard it, and you see it, and you are justified, you are blameless, you are a saint, you are holy, you are permanently residing in Christ. You never leave it. And that's summary of what blameless means. Amen? What, Tom?
I'm just thinking about it. It's a summary of what blameless means.
Think about what you see it because you're seeing with that third eye, or the eye of, that sees through, not at.
Right.
And that allows you to see. Otherwise, you're just looking at stuff.
Otherwise, you're just looking in the mirror. Because the predicate of all your thoughts is, how does this affect me? What can I use this? No, you can't. You can't use it to warm your hands. You can't use it to light a candle. You can't use it for any purpose whatsoever. It just is. It's its own power, its own everything. And it, meaning he, has no home in time and space. He has no place to lay his head in time and space. Amen? John, anything? Rootledges? Take it, big guy.